third chapter of Genesis. Brother John been bringing a lot of teaching here lately on the book of Revelation and things of the end time, the things that are coming about upon this world. And one of the main characters you'll notice in all this is Satan himself. Satan is the one who's bringing all the havoc upon our world today, and he's never changed. We'll go to Genesis chapter 3, where he's spoken of as the old serpent. I thought about that serpent. You know, a lot of people are scared to death of what we call a serpent or a snake. But you know, when God created the serpent, you know, the old first few chapters of Genesis, or the second chapter, even when he created a serpent, he said it was beautiful. You know, and when Satan come along and did what he did, you know, I believe that it was no longer a beautiful animal like it was in the Garden of Eden. But we do know that there's some things we want to look at tonight. It's been ongoing since the beginning of the times of mankind. And we're going to look at this evening. And believe it or not, I don't know how many of you can remember this, but September the 23rd, 1990, I brought this lesson. Anybody remember that? Well, don't feel bad, I can't either. But I did refresh myself on, I took the notes, this lesson, I had entitled it 1990, rather, September 23rd, Satan's Lies and Empty Promises. And you think about from time that he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden, well, this time, how many lies has he told, and how many empty promises has he made? You'll find out he made many. And he still is. Today, I'm going to just look at this and we'll go through it. Let's go to chapter 3 of Genesis. We'll read these first five verses. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. You know, she said about a tree in the midst of the garden, but when you go to chapter 2, verse 16, it tells you what that tree is. It says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, verse 16 of chapter 2, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's the truth. And we know that today, man dying every day because of what went on here. He goes on in verse 3, he said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And it goes on, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. There is a lie straight from the father of the lies, Satan himself. Because we just read over in 17th, verse of chapter 2, he said, God said, you'll surely die, which is the truth. But we see Satan said, you shall not surely die. For God does not know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So we see here, he says, God does not know. God does know. God has always known. He always will know. And today we're going to look at some of the things that we see concerning Satan, his lies and empty promises. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for another day that you blessed us to be here again in another service. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here and to stand here and to bring forth your word. And Lord, help me. Help me to bring forth the truth of the matter before us. Do we know Satan is a bitter, bitter enemy? He's a terrible adversary. He's fighting us in every way he can today. He's not even going to be happy with what I've got to say here tonight. But God help me to bring forth the truth. I feel, Lord, that there are those here in this congregation that does not know how evil is until we uncover some of the things of Satan. He's been preached on and taught here many years, but Heavenly Father, I know that there must be said about him. Lord, help me here tonight just to reveal how terrible he really is. And yet he blinded people to the point of lying to them and giving them all these empty promises that will never be fulfilled in the dreams and the things that he puts in them and the thoughts that he puts in their minds. And it's better to follow him than it is to follow you, God. God, just help us. We realize that these are a terrible time we're in. But we know who is even the father of all this. It's in our nation, in our own state, our governments, even our own communities. Lord, we know who's behind it all. It's none other than Satan. God, help me, I pray, to bring us forth that we can all understand. Lord, bless our pastor tonight. Bless him over at Livingstone Baptist Church. May you bless him with that message that they stand in need of. Please, you, Lord, you give them revival. And Lord, we pray for the lost that be in that mess, that please you save them. And Lord, I ask you to give them traveling mercy, the journey. Lord, I ask you again, bless the sick and afflicted, the brokenhearted and bereaved, to comfort them. Again, Lord, forgive me where I sin against you. For in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Today, if we look at our situation in the world, the whole world, we know who the father of all this chaos is. It's not George Soros and all these others. The father of it is Satan himself. These George Soros, I'll call their names out, and all these others that are mixed up in this going on today, they're just a tool that he's using. That's all they are. The misery and despair of mankind, which has been going on since the day that God put man out of the garden. For not obeying his word. They found it to be true, though, didn't they? And Satan, his words were a lie. Because we do know, as time elapsed going on, Adam and Eve died. But you know, Satan told them, if you eat fruit, he said, you ain't going to die. Folks, that was a lie. They found out the promise of Satan was an empty promise. They disobeyed God by believing Satan's lies and empty promises. They turned their back on the truth. That's what's wrong with mankind today. This is the truth of the matter with man today, that they are believing the lies of Satan, only find out that in the end, they were all counterfeit. Now, I think about that today, how many people went out into eternity today, finding out that everything that they have found out by being where the world goes, and it's for Satan, found out to be counterfeit. If you go back into Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to look at this evening. Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll walk through a few things here tonight concerning Satan and who he really is. Over in 14th chapter of Isaiah and chapter 12, it said right here, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Folks, I'm here to tell you, 1990, when I brought this lesson, this world was not such a chaos situation. If I can remember back that far, I know we had problems, had a lot of things going on, but it was not like it is today. Today, the nations are weaker than it was 30 years ago. I guarantee you that. They're weaker We see who is the father of that. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. God's word tells him exactly what his doom is going to be. He's going to be cast into that lake of fire. See, what problem that Satan had is like men today who are following him. The problem is pride. They're wrapped up in their pride. That's what Satan, he wrapped up the pride. He was going to have the dominion over God. That's what he desired, and over Christ himself. He desired that dominion, and he craved for it. He lusted after that for his own self. Christ himself remembers very well who Lucifer was. You go back to Luke chapter 10 and 18. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Christ himself spoke on this wise. He said, I beheld Satan. In other words, he was there that day. He was there when Satan was, we would say, was kicked out of heaven. That's what he says here. And I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Christ was there that day. He saw this event take place. He saw that Satan's pride was got the best of him. And he saw when he was put out of heaven. See, these things, these five by wheels of chapter 14 of Isaiah 13 and 14, he says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the, he says here, the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the highest of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High. What we see here is, you see God and Jesus Christ himself, being part of the triune Godhead, he's speaking primarily of their power. And he desired that. And he desired to have that. He was going to get it any way that he could. He wanted to have that preeminence. So when it comes down to the end, though, God's word in the 15th verse, that thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And over in Revelation, Brother John been bringing his great message on Revelation. And we do know that's where he's going to end up at. He's going to cause all this havoc in the time of this tribulation yet to come. He's going to be loosed for a season. And then God's going to cast him and the false prophet and the demons into that lake of fire. What Christ told those who were deceived by Satan is very alarming themselves. And he told his followers, he told many in his day, you know, who Satan was and his real character was. And he told those that were being deceived by Satan in believing his lies, they've only come to the realization that what he had offered them was empty and worthless. It was no means of true salvation, as we're seeing today in our ecumenical movements, and we're seeing a lot of things coming together in our religious world, and things are preparing for that final day when God will send his son back to the clouds to call his children home. See, Satan wanted the preeminence over God, and he wanted preeminence over God's Son, Jesus Christ, as well. He loved to have the preeminence. And he's going to have the opportunity just for a short while in the time of tribulation upon this world. People will finally see who Satan really is. Over in the book of Jude, chapter 5, you know when Satan, Jude, verse 5, rather, Satan himself, when he was removed from heaven, it marveled me that there was a host of the angels
fell with him.
Scripture, some think, according to the third of the stars that fell over in Revelation chapter 6, I believe, had mentioned that has reference to the third of the angels fell as well. And so it just shows you how powerful and how deceitful Satan really is to do such a thing, because it says here in verse 6 of the book of Jude, and the angels which kept not their first estate. And that first estate was in heaven. They were created beings. They were there and saw all the great things that were ongoing in the beginning of all this world, this great vast universe that we know in heaven. And it says here, they kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The great day. So Satan, he desired the preeminence. He had a host of the angels. I don't know how thousand they were, but they fell because they followed after him and they believed that lie. See, he talks about them being reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. See, Satan knew Christ. He knew him and knew who he was. He knew that even in the beginning, he knew who Christ was, because in the beginning where things were created. We do know that things were mentioned like in our image and such as that. So Satan, what marveled me another thing about him is when you go back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. After Christ was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, when he came up out of the water, you know, there was a dove. The Spirit in the form of a dove lit upon him. And there's a voice out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I believe so. Oh, Satan was there that day on the scene. He knew all about this baptism. He knew who Christ was. As I said, he knew him from the beginning. But what really marveled me is, now you think, people take Satan to be maybe some kind of a wimp. He's not. Because look what he does in chapter 4. He says, "Then was Jesus led up into the spirit of the spirit to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Then it says here, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God," notice here, he said, "If thou be the Son of God," like if he didn't know who he was, that's deception, see? He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Here he thought he was going to trip Christ up in something, didn't he? He thought, you know, this is my opportunity. This is my golden opportunity. I have him. I couldn't kill him when he was a baby, but I've got him now. He says here, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God," yeah, if. He said, "Command that these stones be made bread." Now, he was in doubt of who he was. Why did he say such a comment? Yeah, he knew who he was. He says here, but he answered and said, as Christ answered him back, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And notice what he says here. "And saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God," again, if, that's a casting doubt. That's what he's doing. He's belittling our Savior. Casting doubt upon him. He said, "Cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's pretty clever. You know, this time, what Satan did, he uses the Scripture. He's pretty clever. He said here, he used Scripture. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. He said, for it is written. Satan knows Scripture, folks. He knows his Bible from one end to the other. Then he said, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. Then their hand shall he bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Christ answered back with another Scripture. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Just think about it, just visualize it. He takes him up in the highest mountain over around Jerusalem. And said, here, look at this. This will all be yours if you just bow to me. Read on. He says here, again, the devil take him up the exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdom, the treasure of the kingdom of the world and glory of them, and saith unto thee, him, all these things will I give thee. Just think of that. He didn't even own it, but he's still going to give it to him. See, that's the way Satan is. He has empty promises. Things he can't fulfill. He didn't even own the world to give anybody. He doesn't own it today. We know who owns the world. God owns it. He says, and I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He just keeps belittling our Savior as he was even a nobody. He thought he'd get by with that. But what would Christ say? Unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. See, Satan had the nerve, didn't he, to try to persuade Jesus Christ to bow down to him. If he has the nerve to do that to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, don't think he has power over mankind. He has power to mislead thousands of angels. Don't think for once he don't have power over mankind. He had a lot of nerve to do what he did. I'm tell you what, folks, he's got a lot of nerve. Look what he's done today. He doesn't back down to nobody except God and Jesus Christ. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Folks, Jesus Christ today knows exactly what you and I are going through. He was tempted more than we can ever imagine that day. Those 30 days and 30 nights, he was tempted more than we could ever imagine by this tempter. He knows everything about us, even here tonight. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. Because it says he but was in all points tempted, and we are yet without sin. That's Jesus Christ. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm telling you what, folks, if we're here today, that we don't need help is now. We as God people need to realize that we need to be on our knees. Coming to the throne of grace, because we're in need. We're a needy people. We're a people that are in need of so much today. We need God's help. We need God's will in our life. There is never anything that can be said about Satan that merits any honor. Have y'all seen anything in God's Word anywhere where He merits any honor? You will not find it. You're not getting it from God. You should get it from us. That being said, though, yet the vast majority of mankind will believe Him. That's something, isn't it? Can't find no honor about Him, nothing good about Him, but yet the vast majority of our world believes Him. They'll believe Him before they believe God. They'll believe Him before they repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. That's sad. See, Satan desires the preeminence over God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And he also desires the preeminence over you and I as well. See, everything that was brought forth in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 concerning the I wills of Satan was brought forth with an evil desire of taking over. And that's Satan's desire today. Everything we see in evil is instigated by Satan to take over. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, everything, these five I wills in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 are embedded in these verses. Here we see God the Son, and who they really are. Where it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. See, Satan hates this. Satan hates God's Word. He hates what is put forth, even in what we're reading here tonight. He does not want it put forth. That's the reason that today you hear so much religion and so much prosperity stuff going on in church today. That's what Satan likes. He does not like what we're seeing here, because he says here that Christ is going to be the heir of all things. Satan desired that. Who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. One of those I wills was, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. He desired the position of Jesus Christ, so He'd do anything in the world to get it, even to try to attempt it. He says here, being made so much better than the angels. Satan hates that too. So he was an angel. The morning star, Lucifer. He didn't like to call Christ was much better than he. That's the reason he rebelled. He said, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which the angel said, and he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, he to be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, here's another one of Satan hating scriptures. And let all the angels of God worship him. Satan did not want to worship Jesus Christ. Neither does those that follow him today. And all the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter, he says here, of thy kingdom. Satan's kingdom will never be this way, folks. He'll tell you that way. He'll tell you things and lies, and but it'll never be that way. People today act like everything's so gloomy and things are going to be so nice when we get to 4 St. Peter. It ain't going to be. There's no such thing. I heard something about that today. And said in verse 10, said, well, verse 9 said, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Again, Satan hates these scriptures. And he says here, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hand. Satan's agenda is pretty obvious today, isn't it, in our world. His agenda is so open today as never before. As I said a while ago, 30 years ago, things weren't as open as they are. Everything is really opened up to this time, and Satan had no fear. He had gone full blast, wide open. Satan's agenda today is to do a number on the Lord's churches, I believe. Because I believe here that what he's trying to do, like what he's trying to do, is what he's trying to undo. And causing havoc and despair among churches and God's people. See, Satan hates the Lord's churches, and he hates the mission of the church. Well, we're going all over and preach the gospel. And in Mark chapter 4 and 15, Mark chapter 4 and 15, talk about how that he hates the Lord's church. He hates the preaching of the word. He likes to destroy it. He likes to put obstacles in the way to where people do not pay attention to it, lure their minds off on things. And here is what we see. The sower soweth the word. That's the bringing forth of the gospel. And these are they by the wayside which were where the word is sown. By when they have heard, Satan immediately. Whoa. Satan's here tonight, folks, in our midst. Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Satan does not like to hear God's word put forth. He does not want it put forth in the ears of those that belong to him. He will block your hearing. He'll block your thoughts and your minds. He'll put everything else in the way. But I'm here again to tell you, folks, his character is nothing but lies. He is lying to you. If you're here tonight lost, he's lying to you. He's been that way from the beginning. He's the father of lies. John chapter 8, verse 44. John 8 and 44. We'll get over here. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Folks, if you're here lost or not, here's your father. That's God's word. As I said, his character is nothing but lies. He's been that way from the get-go. He's the instigator of all evil. Look how Judas turned out. He believed Satan. What happened to him? He betrayed the Savior, didn't he? Hang yourself. Committed suicide. Yeah, Satan said, you're not going to die. Yeah. John 13, verse 2 through 27, tells you the story. Verse 2 and 27, how Judas betrayed the innocent blood. Tonight, I'm going to close here shortly, but I just wanted just to tell you what God's Word is concerning Satan. It's evidence against him. And I had given you that evidence the best I could. The true character of Satan is evil continually. Satan's not happy about what God's Word says concerning him. It exposes true character of lies and conceit. My prayer to you here, if you're lost tonight, get away from his lying character. Trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Take heed to God's Word, not to Satan's Word. God's Word is the truth. Over Jen, we saw that. Satan's words are lies. Believe what Christ says, where he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, he said, but by me. There's more could be said about Satan, but I want you to know this. You'll not find nothing good. We could stay here for eons of time. I can't tell you nothing good about him. But I can tell you a whole lot of good about Jesus Christ. God sent him to this world to save sinners like you and me. That's good news. That's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. All right, Brother Jared.